Please.
So CLIA has mandatory conditions of membership with these great environmental standards.
Yep.
That's great. How has CLIA dealt with all the companies that violated the standards that are mandatory for their membership? I understand you haven't lost, sanctioned, or suspended any members, and I just find that incredible given the vast amount of environmental violations committed by your members. You say you keep them accountable, and I have several examples right here. So how is it that you keep them accountable, and these are conditions of membership for CLIA?
Yep, they are conditions of membership, and I would, again, these are, you can go online to the cruising.org website. There's an environmental, regulatory tab, an environmental, and it'll give you the, what the requirements are. And they're quite extensive.
They are. Carnival was convicted of falsifying environmental compliance reports while the company was already on probation, and there are no repercussions with CLIA for them. What were the impacts of their membership with you?
A lot of these requirements that are now in place for CLIA have come about as a result of some of those experiences. So this was an effort to clean
things up. So Richard Softy in 2004.
All these policies are... there's been a few things
what
that really...
What about Princess? Recent, and they're still with you. So.
Okay.
What are the... You know, that's my question.
Okay. Audited by third parties, and we get the results of that. And we always look for what is the company doing to correct this. So is it an automatic, expulsion from the organization? No. But we are looking for, you got to clean this up. You've got to make this better. You can't let this happen again.
So it's not exactly conditions of membership.
Well, it is a condition of membership, but there's also room for a dialogue as to what are you going to do to improve this? Because it is the health of the industry we're talking about and the public perception of the industry, so it matters. And we have to be assured that they are taking this seriously. And in those cases, we are assured. And in the Carnival case, I've talked with Carnival personally. I've only been on with CLIA since around Christmas time. But that is one of the issues I've talked about because that's my gig. I've been an environmental regulator through the Coast Guard. And then, quite honestly, subsequent to the Coast Guard, I went back to work in the government with the Department of the Interior, and it was an offshore regulator. It was part of the Deepwater Horizon follow-on and making sure that didn't happen again. So I've been an enforcer and a regulator for most of my career. That's where I come from. That's what kind of runs through my veins. I wouldn't have taken this job if I felt that there wasn't a commitment by the industry overall to do the right thing. So far, what I've seen in my dialogue, particularly in those cases, that you've mentioned, is that there is an absolute determination to make this right and to not repeat those things.
You're very confident that you'll all be compliant with new emission standards very soon. I just think about Royal Caribbean assuring everyone in 2004 that they would have AWTS on all their ships by 2008, and by 2010, half still didn't have them. So how are you so confident about this with the emissions?
We've been working with the emissions issue since 2010. Again, 2004 predated a lot of the current requirements. It predated the emission control area, and it predated a lot of the technology for the AWTS. So a lot's happened. A lot of progress has been made. A lot of investment has been made to really make that equipment functional and available on the market. So things have changed dramatically in the last 10, 15 years. So again, how are we confident? The emission control area has been in effect now for, since 2010. Ships have had to comply with that since 2010. And they are, boarded and compliance is verified by the Coast Guard, which often acts as an agent of the EPA, in that matter. And then, of course, EPA has its own, can also get involved. If something doesn't look like it's operating correctly, EPA would get, obviously called in, and they have an investigation component as well. So those things do take place. So there is a lot of control. There's a lot of eyes on what this industry is doing and what the shipping industry does overall. Yes, sir.
Yeah, obviously there's a long history of noncompliance, and one of the ways it's being implemented to assure the public and the regulatory agencies that that's in fact being enforced is the Alaskan Ranger model. So I assume that you would recommend or support the use of rangers in other main waters in the U.S. plus in Maine.
I have to admit, I'm not familiar with the Alaska Ranger model. It might be a function of my newness here. My last trips to Alaska were for different reasons than cruise ships.
Pretty well publicized.
Maybe you could help me. But,
pretty well publicized, yeah. But what they do is there's a ranger who is on every ship in Alaska waters and monitors their discharges. There's a whole host of environmental non-compliance issues in Alaska.
I'll be honest with you, I have to look at how that works. It may be somewhat dependent on itineraries.
I don't think so. It's anything in Alaskan waters.
Right.
If I were you, I would Google that.
Okay, I'll have to research that one. I confess I'm not familiar with that program.
Okay.